Hey, we hit 70s today, so I'm happy. I'm getting excited to going fishing again. So. You're scaring me. That means it's coming my way. I don't like that idea. I've heard horrible stories about snow coming this way. Oh. Oh no, this is really nice. Now it's working smooth. This first one is sadly of no surprise. I'll throw each of these links in the chat room so everybody can go take a look. Doesn't matter where you're from, you can always go to translate.google.com and you can punch these links in, and they'll be translated directly into your language. So if you're in Indonesia or wherever, just plug those in, hit translate.google, post it in there, and you will be, I think you'll be shocked at some of the stuff that we're going through when we do this every week. So Hamas linked Karen Media attack police in Antioch, California. This came out today, and it's by Larry Estevan. It starts out, April 17, 2023, broadcast to the Bay Area's KGO ABC7 that was filed by Ansar Hassan, entitled "Activists Targeted in California Police Texting Scandal Threatens to Sue. I Feel Very Violated," is part of an ongoing scandal. So what's going on? CARE is upset because these text messages between the Antioch police officers has somehow become public local TV newscasters, including the KGO, thought it would be a good idea to get the opinions of CARE's Zara Billu. CARE has built a reputation for itself by grandstanding during media stories about high-profile police cases. But Zara Billu had no business criticizing anyone or anything for bigotry. Billu's public statements about Zionists were so embarrassing, even the organization she works for, CARE itself, put her on sabbatical. But she's back at work less than a month later. So CARE is on TV every day. As of April 19th, CARE has been on TV 27 times this month. And by the 19th is the 109th day of the year. So think about that. CARE has been on the TV 117 times in 2023. So, yeah, and they're not... Yeah, that's the crazy. Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, so far this year's victims from CARE have been the Nazi Club 131, KKK boots, an art professor, an Oklahoma policeman, Officer Patrick O'Donnell has been a victim, Jonathan Boone, Shaw University, Missouri Prison, Whole Foods, that Nazi Club, another time, Michael's Restaurant, Antioch Police Officers, and Mohammed Bekheet. There's over 120 examples of CARE attacking people on TV. But it's just constant. And I think it's funny about this. The sad thing is it's the same story. Exactly. That's the sad, sorry truth. That is the sad, sorry truth. This week did mark the end of Ramadan. And I do have the final numbers. Let me put that up just a second. I got to go back one slide first. Okay. Okay, here we go. Just share the screen. And this is, again, I will say this. It's a sad commentary on humanity. I'm not just blaming... Because the truth is, these numbers are probably, as Usama keeps saying every week during Ramadan, these numbers are probably much higher. 145 attacks? Yes. 145 attacks within the space of 28 lunar days. and 741 kills. Still a horrible number, no matter how... And that's the truth of it. Yeah, it's much sadder, a commentary on life. So let me read a few of these things that I picked up that had to do with Ramadan. They're really, really sad. So be patient with me if I put this in, because these are hard to read. This is an event that happened in Nigeria. It's even hard to read, just the title. 5-year-old beheaded, 33 killed in Nigeria. Christian Foundation calls for action. This is by Agnes Inia. I will say this. I wasn't talking about 500. I was talking about a 5-year-old boy. Even Muhammad people back then, they didn't execute prepubescent boys back then or prepubescent girls. So this was the they beheaded. This is a 5-year-old boy beheaded a 5-year-old boy when Muslims attacked a village in southern Kaduna State, leaving dozens of people dead. In April 15th attack, the killers descended on Runji Village. And then we're just learning of this today. So this is just something I caught on Jihad Watch today. So that's why it's a little bit farther back on the date, but I had not seen the report before. It's a horrible, horrible fact. And what bothers me, and we were just talking about this yesterday. I was just saying yesterday, I saw this sign out front of a church. Now, if anybody sees this sign, I wanted to go in and yell and scream at the persons who ran the church, but I realized it would be no effect because this sign, it said, wish, you know, our Muslim brothers a happy Ramadan. Really? Not according to Islam, and it's not according to Christianity. And this is the month of double blessings. So you want to wish them good? You want to make them happy for getting a double blessings for killing us? And then I told you, I asked him this question. I says, what flag do you think is on the side of that church? And what did you say? I said, what flag do you see? Yeah. Oh, I've been keeping up on some of that. So, yeah, that's just... They never read Romans. You have to ignore the whole book of Romans. You have to ignore a lot of scripture to do that. And it's just, demonic. I'm laughing because I'm so glad I labeled my second book Civilization Jihad and the Myth of Modern Islam. Yeah, it's a myth. All right, this next story, I'll throw this one in the chat room too. This is out of France, but okay. So this is a sad story. Out of France, it's titled "Return to Afghanistan." France is guilty of violating the principle of non-refoulement, says the president of Amnesty International France. Now, you have to listen to this article. It came out a few days ago, April 19th. For this first time since the Taliban returned to power, a man has been sent back to Afghanistan. The man had been sentenced in November of 2020 for apologizing for terrorism or having praised the assassination of Samuel Paty. So he was sent back because he praised. Well, now he's apologizing because he got caught. That's what it comes down to. He got caught praising a terrorist act, the killing of a teacher, for teaching required curriculum, and they wouldn't take him in. Oh, too bad for you. This is the article. It says, quote, "His words are unspeakable, but we cannot send someone back to a country where he risked his life," declares Jean-Claude Samoulia, president of Amnesty International France. Wait a minute. How is he risking his life when he's endorsing their belief structure by saying these things? According to information from France Info, a man convicted of advocating terrorism was sent back to Afghanistan first since the return to power of the Taliban. This Afghan was sentenced 18 months in prison in 2020 for having defended the assassination of Samuel Paty. This is actually Amnesty International. This is Amnesty International. They're fighting against France. And I'm just, you know, it's just disgusting what they're saying. It tells me nobody should have any respect for that entity anymore. They apparently don't know what terrorism is. They don't know what jihad is. They don't understand Islam by any means. Oh, boy. And this is, you know, the horrible truth is there are so many people in the Western Hemisphere who choose not to know. And again, I will admit I include myself in that number a few years back. I get disgusted when I think about how much I didn't know and how willingly stupid I was. And once you realize the dangers of being willingly stupid, your eyes pop open. Yes. I got a comment. The link is defunct. Ed, did the link not work that I put in? I'll try and pull it back up. So let me just see if I can pull it back up real quick here. Recently closed. There it is. All right, I'm going to put it in the chat room one more time. And, yeah, this one was, okay. All right. It might be too long is all I, yeah, I think that's the issue. It's too long. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what it is. It's too long. So, Ed, I will send the link to you. I'll send it to you later. Sorry about that. It goes into a second comment. Is too much. So blame Amnesty International for that one. All right, this next one it comes from Barron's magazine. Pakistan ex-cricketer was named in a Dutch member of parliament threat case. Now, again, this is during Ramadan. Let me ask, Usama, are threats considered acts of, would they, what level of jihad, I guess I probably fall under, were jihad a threat, correct? Or is, yeah. So this guy threatens somebody, yeah. That's what it comes down to. Exactly it. Yes. Yes. Exactly. So let me read this article, and I think you'll know who we're talking about, who's getting threatened. The Netherlands said Monday that it was prosecuting a famous Pakistani for allegedly inciting the murder of a lawmaker with anti-Islam member of parliament, Geert Wilders, saying the suspect is former international cricketer Khalid Latif. The Dutch Public Prosecution Service said 37-year-old man who had offered 21,000 euros, which is 23 grand in U.S. dollars, in 2018 for the killing of a Dutch member of parliament through a video on the internet without identifying the suspect or the target. In this particular case, the suspect is identifiable. He's a famous person in his own country. As a result, the Dutch police recognized him from the images. Wilders, who canceled a competition for cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad in 2018 after demonstrations and death threats, tweeted the suspect was former Pakistan opening batsman Latif. The Dutch public prosecutor will prosecute and subpoena the cricket player Khalid Latif from Pakistan, who put a price on my head to kill me in 2018, he says. They will ask for his arrest and extradition as well. Do you think Pakistan will comply, is my question. How can they comply when they're okay with jihad? As money is. It's bad, and if for those of you who are not here, because we have an awful lot of Indonesians listening, please understand we're not happy. We're very, very sad. We want a lot of us Americans are doing what we can as patriots, but it seems like a losing battle, I'll admit right now. But we're not giving up. We're not giving up. This next article. Yes. This next article I have comes from TRT World. It's another sad article. And several killed, abducted in ISIS-linked group attack on the DRC village. Rebels from Allied Democratic Forces attacked, which is basically ISIS, I should say, attacked Samboko village in Beni territory, killing at least 20 people and taking hostages, according to a civil society group. And that is everything. They're saying that 120 armed groups are fighting, most for land, control of mines. Since April of last year, they have killed 370 civilians, and I would say a good many of them have been identified as Christians that they killed. Yes, yes. And this is... Well, actually, strangely enough, that number that we had for the attacks is, and like you keep saying it's an underestimate, and I agree with you 100%. Last year's numbers, were 177 attacks, which was less attacks, but there was 1,086 killed. So, yeah, it's a sad, sorry treatment. Yeah, statement. Yeah, it's harsh. I'm just going to keep saying it's harsh. And a lot of these are, and it's still Muslims killing other Muslims as well, and people don't catch that. That's the other part of it. And that's what they do during a fasting month. They kill others. Let's see. Here we go. One of my last news stories I prepped. I think I already read that one. Let me see if I've got one more. Just a second. Okay. Here we go. Okay. This is out of Mali, and this is a new article today. And let me just bring this one up into the chat room. This is another shocker. This is from Reuters. And we go back here. Okay. At least 9 killed in triple suicide bombing in central Mali. More than 60 wounded when a triple suicide bomb destroyed about 20 buildings in central Mali town of Savare early today. All of those killed and wounded in Saturday's blast were civilians. Yakuba Maiga, the spokesperson, told Reuters by phone there was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack. Mali is the epicenter of the violent insurgency that took the root in its arid north following a separatist rebellion in 2012. They believe these people who did the killing have links to Al-Qaeda and and ISIS. Not a soldier. I would like to say, when did he? Killed merchants? That is so accurate to bring it up. Absolutely not. Might have been smarter than Muhammad, but I guess I don't think she was a soldier. No. Exactly. And this is where there's so much deceit and misinformation in public schools, textbooks, thinking that this concept of radical or this word Islamist, that's a made-up word, is accurate. And it is a fallacy. It is purposeful misinformation. It's propaganda. And my statement is to stay away from those words. Amen. Amen. It truly is. That is pretty much it today, but we have an awful lot of content to cover, so. Hold on. All right. I just want to pull up the Quran first, that passage we talked about, which was Quran 2:183. Oh, you who have believed, fasting is decreed to you as it was decreed to those before you. And who are those people before them that they're talking about? They're saying it's decreed to you. Okay. I'll change that because I did that in a few other things here, so I can do that. Okay. Then they had these exceptions with verse 184. It says, "Numbered days, whoever is among you who is sick and traveling." So he will fast the number of days, and for those who are not able to keep it, the atonement of this will be the feeding of a poor person. And who volunteers? I think that was so Muhammad, the rich guy, didn't have to do any fasting. He could just keep stuffing himself. Yeah, yes. That's quite a statement. All right. Oh, I was going to. Okay. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was sent down, a guidance to the people, the proofs of the guidance, and the distinguisher. So whoever among you witnesses the month, so let him fast it. And whoever was sick or traveling, so like a number of days. Allah desires the ease of you and does not desire the difficulty for you, and that you complete the number, that you may kabir Allah for his guidance, and perhaps you may be thankful. The God of perhaps strikes again. And this is the in radio silence is dangerous. Yeah. Okay. That's a feast. That's a feast, my friend. All right, we're going on. Mizpah and fasting. This comes from 1 Samuel 7:6-12. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry out unto the Lord for our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethcar. And then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name Ebenezer, saying, "Here too has the Lord helped us." Actually here. Well, we were looking at, it's a day. On that day that they declared, it says they fasted on that day. So we're talking about, I'd say about 24 hours they were fasting, at least. Yes, I do. Right there. Oh, right there. Yom. Yeah. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's see now, if we, the evening is the beginning of the day, and the, in the daytime, you know, I'll tell you this, it's easier, that sounds really weird, but it's easier to fast when you start at night. Back here. That is, so for those non-Muslims, for those non-Muslims listening, why, please explain to them why you're talking about sex with fasting, because they may not understand why are you including that? Well, why do they include sexual activities? I mean, are they supposed to fast from that as well? We have 2 Samuel 12:16 to 18, and this is King David we're talking about. David therefore besought God for the child. Nathan, the background here is the prophet Nathan has come and told him that his son's life will be forfeit because of King David's sin. And so David seeks out God for the child, and he fasts, and he went in, he lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house rose and went to him and rose him up from the earth, but he wouldn't. Neither would he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, when the child was yet alive, we spoke unto him, and he would not listen to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" This is from verses 21 to 23. Then the servants went unto him, and "What thing is this that you have done? You fasted and you wept for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, you arose and ate bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. It was 6 days. Exactly. Sometimes you don't get the answers you want. And it came to... It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and Jezebel, I skipped that one, I'm sorry. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, again, I just want to go back. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the heaven? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and have built you a sanctuary therein for your name, saying, if when evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in your presence, for your name is in this house, and cry unto you in our affliction. They're referring to the affliction they're talking about is their fast, then you will hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And let me tell you, I didn't put the rest of this in, but let me read the victory that actually happened as a result of this. And they rose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, to ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were against Judah. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants, utterly to slay and destroy them. They're talking about to destroy Israel. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir everyone helped to destroy another. Listen to that. The children of Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. They killed each other. And when Judah came, definitely days, because we're talking about when you prepare for battle, it's not something done quickly. Days. And then you think about this. They went from the fast into the battle. They prepared. I mean, that is, you send out singers in front of you when you're fasting. And get my mouse back over here. Okay. Then we have Ezra. Ezra proclaims fast. It's in chapter 8, 21 to 23, and I skipped down to 31. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Avaha, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Verse 31, then we departed from the river of Abaha on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. See, if I remember from the Hadith that Muhammad was quite heavy, and it's kind of hard to imagine someone that heavy fasting, but for 28 days, it just doesn't happen with Muhammad. All right, let's go to the next one. Esther 4:16 to 17. Oh, I should say Esther proclaims a fast up there. Sorry about that. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast you for me. This is Esther talking to Mordecai. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. You hear that? Night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon the royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. So it was that when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near, touched the top of the scepter, then said the king unto her, What do you want, Queen Esther, and what is your request? It shall be given to you to the half of the kingdom. Wait a minute. Wasn't the last queen killed for something less? Well said. That's the part about the day. Okay. Then we have Nehemiah, who proclaims a fast. Now in the 20, this is from Nehemiah 1 to 11. Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in the place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 of the day, and another 1/4 of the part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said and beseeched you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keeps covenants and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly with you and have not kept the commandments nor the statutes nor the judgments which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I beseech you, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet I gather them from thence and will bring them to the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Lord, I beseech you, let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name and prosper, I pray you, the servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of man, for I was a king's cupbearer. We asked those questions about what happened. They fasted, and then they went. He goes to the king, and he says, and the king says, wherefore the king says unto me, why is your countenance sad, seeing you are not sick? So he didn't tell anyone he was fasting. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not the countenance, the face, be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lie in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, for what do you make this request? So I prayed to God of heaven. This is Nehemiah saying this. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you would send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said to me, and the queen sitting by him, for how long shall your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Nehemiah. I think it's quite a statement. I mean, this is God acting, and the fasting is brokenness as well, because you're confessing your sins. It's not done out in public. You notice he didn't tell the king. The reason that my face looks the way it is because I haven't been eating. Okay, David's fast. Here's Psalm 35, 1 to 14. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold a shield of buckler and stand up for my help. I draw out your spear to stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto the soul, to my soul, I am your salvation. Let them be confounded, put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back, brought to confusion, devise my heart. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid from me their net in a pit with which cause they have dug for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares. Let his net that he has hid catch himself, and in that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord and shall rejoice in his salvation. And all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto you, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him, yet the poor and the needy from him that spoils. And false witnesses did rise up. They laid charge to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good. Oops, sorry, went back too fast. They rewarded my evil for good for the spoiling of the soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourns for his mother. I mean, this is David. David's talking about fasting. He's talking about sackcloth, and you hear that again. And I haven't read anything in the Hadiths or in the Sirahs that were, yeah, that would mean Muhammad would have to confess that what he did was immoral. No. This time we don't know how long he fasted or when the fast ended. How it ended. Yeah. Here's another one out of Psalms. Psalms 69, 10 to 11. I didn't proofread these, so forgive me. When I wept and chastened, my soul was fasting that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. So this is another reference to, yes. And this one, Psalm 109:24. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh fails of fatness. Oh, definitely. And weak, when your knees being weak through fasting is more than a few days. So again, it's not a 12-hour or a 16-hour fast. We're talking days. Okay. So Isaiah 58, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and you see not? Why have we afflicted our soul? You take no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with a fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul is to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to lash the oppressed, let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? And there's Daniel 9:3-7. We have, and I set my face to Lord God, and to seek prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I pray to the Lord my God, made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keep your the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. Neither have they listened unto your servants and the prophets which spake unto your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the Lord out of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off throughout all the countries whither you have driven them, because of their trespass, they have trespassed against you. And here we go. Fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Let's skip ahead to the New Testament part because we're... Okay. All right. And... Okay. Jonah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it says, so Jonah rose, went into the city, went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose, and he laid his robe off from him and covered himself with sackcloth and spat in ashes. And he caused to be proclaimed throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Exactly. All right. So we have Jesus and fasting. Matthew 6:16-21. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, and you that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Lay not for yourself. Lay not for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right? Okay. Matthew 9:14-17. And they came to the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. No man puts a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up takes from the garment, and the rent, the tear, is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish, but they put in new wine into new bottles. Both are preserved. They claim they did. That's it right there. If he was a true prophet, he would know he was never fasting. let's see. There was the part about the demon-possessed child. Yeah. That is a whole other topic, but it is a very important topic. Do Muslims actually know what prayer means? They don't know what fasting means, but to not know, this is where I did something on my last show. Prayer is about communication with God. It's about having a conversation with God. It's not banging your head on the ground. Yeah. And for those who are listening to BTR, just let you know that we will upload the whole show afterwards. If you didn't figure that, we will upload the whole thing so you can hear the whole thing. All right. Luke talks about the two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank you that I'm not as these other men are extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as a publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. We're hitting that mark. Do you want to go farther or into this? Okay. All right. So I'm going to stop this. Okay. I can put that back. All right. So just a second. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let me go back here. Second. As Peter was coming, this is Book of Acts. And Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? Sir Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. So he's been fasting for 4 days. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded to you by God. We're going to close out with a very important piece to contemplate and make a choice with. If you have any questions you want to pose to us, post them in the chat room, and Usama will answer them afterwards. Thank you.